My name is Don. I'm one of your pastors here at Legacy, and it is great to have this opportunity to speak with you this morning. We are working our way towards the end of our fulfilled series in Matthew. Over the last few weeks, we've looked at how Jesus fulfilled so many of the Old Testament prophecies, that Jesus came and he fulfilled the requirements of the Messiah. We started with Ash Wednesday, and then last Wednesday, Amanda prepared us for today, Palm Sunday, walking us through that entry into Jerusalem, declaring that Jesus is Lord, King, the Messiah, our Savior, the Holy One. Crowds going ahead of him and spreading their cloaks and on the ground before him, and then cutting off palm branches and spreading them on the road also. And then everyone around him shouting, "Hosanna, the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." This was a life-changing event for all those involved. They were celebrating Jesus' entry, his coming to change their lives forever. But they really had no idea what was really going to have to take place for that to happen. After these things happened, I mean, that entry into Jerusalem, Jesus went into a really heavy teaching mode for his disciples, telling them that the tax collectors and the prostitutes would enter heaven before they would, because they believed John the Baptist when he told them about God in heaven. He was also very vocal in telling the chief priests and the Pharisees that their time was coming and that they really weren't as holy as they thought they were. Jesus making friends everywhere he went. The Pharisees and the Sadducees started to plot against Jesus, but he hadn't really broken any laws. So they knew they couldn't just grab him off the street or there would be a riot. So they kept trying to trick him into saying something or doing something that they could bring charges against him. In Matthew 22, 15 through 22, they sent some of their little minions to try to get Jesus into saying that he didn't have to pay taxes to Caesar. He shot them down really quickly by asking them, "Well, whose face is on the money?" It was Caesar, of course. So he said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's." And they ran away like little scolded puppies. These smart guys also tried to trip Jesus up in his scripture knowledge. But Jesus keeps answering every question they would throw at him. And then they couldn't answer the questions Jesus was asking him. And in Matthew 22, 46, it says, "No one could say a word in reply. And from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions." In Matthew 23, Jesus tells his disciples to listen to the good teaching like the scribes and the Pharisees, but don't act like they act. They are hypocrites. They are blind. They are greedy. They are self-indulgent serpents who are destined for hell. Again, making friends everywhere he goes. And in chapter 24 and 25 in Matthew, Jesus teaches about the end times, destruction. No one will know the day and the time that these things happen, and about the final judgment. Things kind of take a rather dark turn from the happy, triumphant entry story that we got on Wednesday, haven't they? People singing Hosanna in the streets and the ground shaking. And now throughout the week, throughout the next week, the religious leaders went from watching him, not liking him and questioning him, then waiting for a time to arrest him, to now saying, "We have to kill this Jesus." And Matthew 26, starting with verse 3, then the chief priest and the elders of the people assembled in the place of the high priest, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or there will be riot among the people. And today's scripture comes from Matthew 26, starting with verse 36. Now, before we start, I need to say something. You all know that I sometimes have problems getting certain words to come out of my mouth. You are all very gracious when these things happen. But in the scripture we are about to read, there's a certain garden name that's going to come up. I've had to use this scripture many times in different sermons throughout the years, and it has become some kind of mental block in my head, and I can't do it. In a conversation, I can say the word without any issue, but when I'm put on the spot, it doesn't come out. So in this scripture, we are simply going to say that it is the garden where Jesus prayed. In your Bibles, it's right there. On the screen, it's going to be above you. But for today, it is the garden where Jesus prayed. Matthew 26, 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to the garden where Jesus prayed. And he said to them, sit there while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And they began to be sorrowful and troubled. And there he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. He then returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So he went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. Then he came back and again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. And then he returned to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. After this Passover meal, he retreated into the garden to pray. He took with him his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, and asked them to pray with him. This was not a quick prayer of Jesus or God help me prayer. Those are fine prayers, but this was a very intense prayer. Jesus needed to talk to God. And I believe this time in the garden is much like the time he spent of temptation at the very beginning of his ministry. This is the time, in fact, where Jesus is completely human. And in this time of prayer, he goes to God for what is to come next. Jesus models for us a few things during this time of prayer in the garden. And the first thing he models is that it's okay to cry out to God. God wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from his children just as earthly parents want to hear from their children. God wants to hear from us in small things. Ask him to take away a headache, and he wants to hear from us in the big things when everything around us just seems out of control. When you have something that's bothering you, you have two choices. You can worry about it, or you can pray about it. Worrying is talking to yourself about something that's out of control. Praying is talking to God about something that's out of control. Walter Kelly says, worry is wasting today's time to clutter up today's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. Maybe you identify better with Charlie Brown. And he said, I've developed a new philosophy. I only dread one day at a time. Jesus brought his prayers to God over and over, asking the Father to let this cup pass from him. Luke records Jesus' prayers like this. Being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Luke 22:44. And I don't think that it was fear of pain or even death that was causing Jesus to cry out. One comment I read said that it was due to a fear of spiritual separation from God. As Jesus became sin on our behalf. 2 Corinthians 5:22, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What did he do with his fear of separation? He took it to God again and again and again. We also see that we need others to support us in prayer. If Jesus asked others for support, trust me, we also need to ask others to support us in prayer. It's okay to let others know what we need prayer or that we need prayer. I know we can sometimes feel that we're being a little selfish to bring our own prayers up in need. We fear gossip, too many people knowing our business. But the bottom line is that God designed us to be in community. More than 50 times in the New Testament is the phrase, one another. And one of them is used in pray for one another in James 5:16. Therefore, express your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. Here Jesus needed his closest three disciples to stay near him and lift him up in prayer. Now they did let him down. Sometimes people are going to let you down. But Jesus didn't count them out of his life. He didn't just cast them aside and throw them away. And we shouldn't do that either. Sometimes that just happens. Now, we need to be safe, but also we need to give second chances. We need people to lift us up in prayer. And finally, we need to submit our will to God's will. Don't we pray that in the Lord's Prayer when we said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. We pray not to tell God what we want, but to shape our will towards his will. We bring our prayers honestly to God, thinking we know what's best, but wisely leaving it up to him to do his will. Jesus prayed until he was able to make his will neutral regarding the cross. Father, if it is possible, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus prayed from the heart, for God's strength to sustain him through this spiritual ordeal that was ahead of him. And as we read the rest of the story in the week to come, we realize that God did answer Jesus' prayer. God didn't remove the cross, but God sustained Jesus through it all, through a very illegal trial, through every relentless taunt, through every physical abuse, and even to the point of death. You never see Jesus respond without perfect control. Hebrews 5:7 says it like this: in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. God brought Jesus through it all. And he will bring us through it all, no matter what our problems may be, whatever we face. We must trust and bring it to him in reverent submission. Our Matthew text this morning ended with a troubling statement. It says, "Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." I think back to all the times I've had to sit and wait for that what is to come next situation. It is almost never a good thing, and in some cases of punishment, I most certainly deserved it. But Jesus sees this group coming, being led by Judas. And even though he knew it was coming, it had to hurt. Jesus knew his entire life, what his purpose was. When he began his ministry, he knew what the end would look like. When he rode into Jerusalem and everybody was crying his praises, he knew that in a week they would be crying out for someone else to receive mercy. He knew when he called his disciples to drop everything that they were doing and follow him, and they all did it, that one day one would betray him, one would deny him, and they all would run and hide. And even though he asked for this cup to pass by him, he knew what he had to do. Jesus chose the tough and difficult things to do because my salvation and your salvation and the salvation of the world rested on him going forward to the cross. In our lifetime and in the country we live in, we will never have to face anything that Jesus had to face. But we do face situations that are life-changing, and sometimes they seem life-shattering. But we can't fade away from them or fear these critical moments in life. But instead, we need to lean into God and do the hard things. God in heaven is always with us. We have just learned the example of scriptures that God does not just preach love to us. God lets us experience the reality of his sacrificial love. God gets on his hands and his knees and he shows that love to us with his words, with symbols, and with action. Lean into God during those very, very hard times. Let us pray. Lord, help us to pray, to be those people who turn to you in all of life's journey. Let us not back away from the things that seem too hard, too impossible, or too hard to overcome. But instead, help us to press forward and lean into you. Help us to see the wisdom and the safety in asking for prayer from those you put into our lives, Lord. May we also be awake and ready when those needing and wanting prayer come to us. For we ask these things in your perfect and your holy name. Amen.